more officers there as they push through, systematically moving through each room, clearing it. Ultimately, they do hear some shots, so they move up to that second floor, and ultimately that is where they identify the shooter and take that shooter down.
ABC's Jacqueline Lee. The investigation is looking into writings the shooter, Audrey Hill, left behind.
Authorities say they discovered writings mentioning possibly several other targets. Authorities say they believe there could have been more victims even outside of the school had those officers not acted as quickly as they did.
ABC's Alex Perez. We're learning that Hill contacted a friend the morning of the shooting, but by the time the friend alerted authorities, it was too late. This is ABC News. Taylor Swift is having a very good week. ABC's Christopher Watson explains why.
It's another chart milestone for Taylor Swift. For the first time in her nearly 17-year recording career, she's got seven albums simultaneously in the top 40 of the Billboard 200 albums chart. Her most recent release, Midnight, sits at the number 3 spot, with the lowest-ranked 2020's Evermore at number 31. No one's done that in the last 60 years, save for Whitney Houston, following her passing in 2012. Swift's Eras Tour kicked off earlier this month. Christopher Watson, ABC News.
The U.S. has opened an investigation into electric car giant Tesla's seatbelts. Highway safety regulators are looking into complaints that Tesla seatbelts may not hold people in a crash. The probe impacts 50,000 Model X SUVs, 2022 and 2023 model years. Chinese e-commerce giant Alibaba is splitting into six business groups. Leaders say the groups could seek their own funding and possibly go public separately. Lionel Moyes, ABC News.
Kids, they're just different than us. They have no inhibitions, consider silverware optional, and can find fun anywhere. And when kids get really sick, they're different than us too. Until now, children diagnosed with blood cancer have been treated like many adults. Not anymore. The Leukemia and Lymphoma Society proudly introduces the Dare to Dream Project, transforming treatment and care through advocacy, education, and the largest global clinical trial for kids with blood cancer. For the first time, a specific treatment can be matched to a specific type of cancer in a specific child. It'll be the biggest medical advancement for little patients in history. Dare to dream with us. Support the Dare to Dream Project and all the work that the Leukemia and Lymphoma Society does at lls.org.
Dear hero, whoever you are, you save lives. I live with sickle cell and the pain and the issues that come along with sickle cell every day. I've had lots and lots of blood transfusions over my lifetime, probably in the hundreds. Blood helps me to be able to live.
My final tour was in Afghanistan in 2008. I was hit June 3rd. The next thing I remember, I woke up in Germany. The doctor came in and said, we're going to amputate your leg. I had to get a lot of blood transfusion to stay alive.
Because of you, I'm allowed to see my son grow up.
Because of you, I got a second chance at life.
Giving equals living. Give blood. Replenish the supply. Make an appointment to give today by visiting hhs.gov/giveblood. This message is brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services.
Talking to your kids about the dangers of vaping can be hard. Getting them to listen to hot gossip is easy. So here's some drama you could share with your kid.
Dude, did you hear about Cassie and Jake?
No, but did you hear that vaping can cause irreversible lung damage and nicotine affects brain development?
Nuh-uh.
You don't need to gossip if you want to have an open conversation about vaping. So if you want to get tips on when and how to talk to your kids, visit talkaboutvaping.org. Brought to you by the American Lung Association and the Ad Council.
Kids across America are going to school hungry. Millions of kids every day. Hungry kids get sick more often and can struggle in school. It can be harder for them to focus and learn. But one simple thing can help change all of this for a hungry child in America. Good healthy food and the energy it brings. With help from caring people across America, No Kid Hungry is providing healthy meals and hope to hungry kids so they can build better futures.
We want to ensure that all of our kids have healthy meals every day.
Thank you.
Thank you for helping feed our kids.
To learn more about ending child hunger in America, go to helpnokidhungry.org today.
Know him as the nose tackle for the green and gold,
1993 to 1999, and again 2001 to 2003.
125 games, 292 tackles, 7 sacks, and a Super Bowl ring. But there's more to life than stats, and there's more to life than football.
You're about to find out.
Under the Helmet with the Gravedigger, featuring Packers legend Gilbert Brown and Earl Ingram.
Saturday and Sunday at 1 on Civic Media and the Civic Media app.
Moving Day, a walk for Parkinson's, is happening around the country. Together we can unite in the fight against Parkinson's disease in a safe but exciting and fun way. So let's get moving. Join the Parkinson's Foundation to learn more and register at movingdaywalk.org.
Here to talk more about it is totally, definitely not an impersonator, but the actual Ron Johnson. Welcome to the show, Senator.
Kristen, it's great to be here with you again. I love that, you know, in your intro that they pronounce your last name, Kristen Bry. You know, because I didn't know how to say it. We call you Kristen Lai, where in my parts in Green Bay and the areas of the Fox Valley. So, it syncs up nicely with that.
Moving Wisconsin forward, one joke at a time, this is Kristen Bry with As Goes Wisconsin.
Yada, yada, yada.
Hello, Wisconsin!
Hello, Wisconsin! Welcome to the noon hour of As Goes Wisconsin. Actually, as we played that promo, Ryan Mason's going to be here as himself. Comedian Ryan Mason, who every once in a while comes on and does his Ron Johnson impression.
Which is so good.
He is going to be on as himself on Thursday because he's got a new show that he's promoting about mental health. It's a comedy show about mental health.
Oh, that's
and
great.
So he's going to be here Thursday, which he's still funny as himself. But he's also very funny when he's playing Ron Johnson. But welcome back. We are going to shift gears away from the sadness and the anger and the frustration that was the first hour. But as always, you can join the conversation, 844-967-2789. And if you have any questions for our next guest, I'm sure he'd be happy to answer them. Civic media friend of this show. I think you're actually also going to be on another civic media show today. Am I right, Dan Schaefer?
That's right. I'm going to be talking with Luke Mathers today as well in our usual Tuesday spot. So double duty on the Civic Media Network today. Happy to do it.
Because, you know, sometimes when people are listening this hour, they can't catch dueling tangents and vice versa. And we'll see if we can change up the topics a little bit. But Dan Schaefer from the Recombobulation area, our friend, is here for the first half hour. And you and I had some interesting, you and I have had an interesting 2 weeks as far as our social media engagement. We both have been fortunate enough to have some of our work get boosted by a certain newly minted national, what was the award that she just won? The national honor of
the humor,
prize? Or something like that. Julia Louis-Dreyfus.
We should probably know that.
I knew it last week, and now off the top of my head, I was like, I don't know what the medal was actually for, but I do remember the bit of her feeling like it was too heavy when Joe Biden put it around her neck.
Hilarious.
Always looking for the comedy gold. But one of my videos got boosted, but you wrote a piece on, you know, so much of what the Wisconsin Supreme Court race, I think, has been centered on is abortion, because it is a very motivating issue and it is a very big deal in Wisconsin, where we are still living under an 1849 criminal abortion ban. But I think for some of us who are so attached to the dream that someday we will have fair maps, you wrote a piece on how gerrymandered Wisconsin is. And that was something that she boosted along with a tweet thread that you wrote. And I guess for someone who's written a lot about gerrymandering, what did you change in this piece that you felt like was new versus the conversation we've been having, or so many people have been having for the last 10 years?
Well, I think a lot of it has to do with the opportunity that this race for Wisconsin Supreme Court presents, because it does offer an opportunity to revisit these maps. Mm-hmm. Obviously, we had the process that we did in 2021 with new maps, and that spilled over into 2022 with all the decisions that were made by the U.S. Supreme Court, by the Wisconsin Supreme Court. And I think a lot of those decisions people have a lot of questions about. And I think the extreme partisan gerrymander that Wisconsin has operated under since it was passed, when Republicans had full control of the process in 2011, has really warped politics in a way that really gets to so many big issues. Like, you know, you were having a very important conversation before the break here about, you know, gun safety legislation and things like that. That's what I opened the piece with, mm-hmm. was talking about the fact that these two bills with 80% support, and universal background checks and a red flag law, were gaveled in and gaveled out by the Wisconsin state legislature with no debate. And I think that type of extreme response is only possible because we have these extremely gerrymandered maps. And I think when you get down to it with this election for Wisconsin Supreme Court, you know, Janet Protasiewicz has said repeatedly in her campaign that these maps are rigged. And I think it's kind of flown under the radar a little bit that Daniel Kelly, as a private practice attorney, was the person who defended these maps in court for Scott Walker and legislative Republicans.
Over 10 years ago, yes.
Before he was appointed to the state.
That did fly under the radar. I was not aware of that. I did not know that.
I think, you know, people have asked questions about whether Janet Protasiewicz should recuse in these cases. I think the same questions, perhaps even more so, should be asked of Daniel Kelly, considering he played a direct role in defending these ridiculously gerrymandered maps. So you have these two candidates who have, you know, opined on these in various different settings. And I think it gets down to the real essential, you know, simple government quality of what these courts are there for, which in so many cases is checks and balances, right? Mm-hmm. And I think the Wisconsin state legislature, because of this gerrymander, has been this out of control, unhinged, unaccountable, unresponsive legislating body that can do these things that, you know, gavel in and gavel out on a very popular legislation that could make a meaningful difference to protect people's safety. They're able to do this because of these gerrymandered maps. And I think the next court, whether Daniel Kelly wins, whether Janet Protasiewicz wins, there's going to be challenges brought to these maps. Whether they will be immediate challenges or challenges after the next round of redistricting after 2030. Like, this, whoever's going to be on the court now will be on the court for the next round of redistricting as well. So I think this is just such an important role that the Wisconsin Supreme Court plays. And I thought it, you know, deserved an in-depth look. So that's what I brought at the recombobulation area.
And so because I'm actually not aware, because right now we know, at least with the abortion issue, there is a current lawsuit that will be in the foreseeable future, probably this year, by the end of this year, maybe next year, make it to the Wisconsin Supreme Court. But is there a current lawsuit to have anything to do with the maps? Or is that something that people are waiting on to see who wins next Tuesday?
That is kind of brewing, just generally. Okay. I talked to Jeff Mandel, who's the co-founder of Law Forward, which is a liberal group that works on redistricting cases. And he talked a lot of, you know, it was a really interesting interview. He talked a lot about, you know, just kind of the process with how things worked with the last round of redistricting, and how the U.S. Supreme Court kicked this case back to state courts, and how this is going to open the door for redistricting challenges to come before courts like the Wisconsin Supreme Court, which has never happened before. So it follows the ruling from last time from the U.S. Supreme Court saying, hey, take this to state court.
Mm-hmm.
And so people like Jeff Mandel at Law Forward are just like, okay, we're going to get that ready.
Yeah.
So that's you know, I think regardless of who wins, there's going to be challenges to the
Mavs. There's going to be challenges. We're talking to Dan Schaefer from the Recombobulation Area about his most recent piece on gerrymandering and what's at stake in our election, which is a week away. Early voting, still open. Get it done this week. If not this week, definitely go on April 4th. You're coming for my job. I saw that you're making reels now.
I made a silly video.
You did. you did a very good job in your goofy winter hat.
Yes, I had my goofy winter hat with the Bucks hat with the flaps, and I went outside and was shoveling my sidewalk and was thinking about early voting.
Have you voted yet?
I have not voted yet. I'm going to go today after we're done.
Nice. I have also not voted yet. I'm trying to decide if I'm going to go today or tomorrow, but get that done. And so just getting back to our gerrymandering, because I followed this a little bit after you posted on it, and I know you're not you're used to people having feedback on your takes. And I saw some of the back and forth, because I think it's interesting, because the natural or the inevitable reaction I've gotten whenever I've talked about gerrymandering is the natural gerrymander between Madison and Milwaukee and the rest of the state.
Sure.
And I think you handled it really well in talking through, there is a natural gerrymander that is a couple of points, not a 60-30 or like 65-35 split or 25, whatever it be, split. That is how the least the people that I saw responding to you trying to justify that this is just the natural split of what the population is, which at least, and I didn't get to verify the assembly popular vote, but over 800,000 people outside of Milwaukee and Dane County voted for Evers in 2022. And in total, it was just over 500,000 in Milwaukee and Dane County that voted for Evers. So there is a lot of people who vote blue and Democrat outside of those two states. And it feels like they just try to ignore that fact. And I think the thing that I don't understand from a standpoint, and maybe you can put yourself more in the mind of the people who are making this argument, for people who argue that the maps are not gerrymandered versus arguing, well, was it within our right to gerrymander? Do you know what I'm saying? As far mm-hmm. as like what the commitment to denying that the maps are gerrymandered, despite the fact that basically every objective news source has written a piece on how we are one of the most gerrymandered states in the country. And yet there is those few people who are like, no, we're not. This is just how the population lives.
Well, and I think you don't even have to look that far to find examples of the fact that partisanship was a consideration in drawing these maps. You can listen to what Robin Voss said in a public hearing when introducing those maps, when he said that partisanship was a consideration when they drew that, because they're like, he said, I think his quote was saying, it's a constitutional allowance allow for partisanship to be drawn into those maps. They're admitting that the maps are a partisan gerrymander. So I don't really understand a lot of these arguments saying that, oh, it's just because Madison, everybody's in Madison, Milwaukee. And while you discount, you know, Beloit and La Crosse and Oshkosh and Eau Claire and all these different blue pockets around Wisconsin. So
absolutely.
Yeah.
All right. Well, let's take a break really quickly. When we come back, I'd love to get your thoughts on one of the other races that's very important, but maybe not as is kind of in the shadows of the Wisconsin Supreme Court, which is set at District 8. Stay tuned. This is As Goes Wisconsin with Dan Schaefer and Kristen Bry.
She's voting around 5 p.m. in Hamden.
Kids, they're just different than us. They have no inhibitions, consider silverware optional, and can find fun anywhere. And when kids get really sick, they're different than us too. Until now, children diagnosed with blood cancer have been treated like many adults. Not anymore. The Leukemia and Lymphoma Society proudly introduces the Dare to Dream Project, transforming treatment and care through advocacy, education, and the largest global clinical trial for kids with blood cancer. For the first time,
a specific treatment can be matched to a specific type of cancer in a specific child. It'll be the biggest medical advancement for little patients in history. Dare to dream with us. Support the Dare to Dream Project and all the work that the Leukemia and Lymphoma Society does at lls.org.
VA has a new life insurance program for veterans with service-connected disabilities called Veterans Affairs Life Insurance, or VA Life. VA Life benefits include up to $40,000 in coverage, no medical questions to enroll, and no time limit to apply if you are age 80 or under. Veterans can apply, receive an instant decision, and manage their policy online. Learn more about VA Life or apply online by visiting va.gov/life-insurance. Protect those who matter most with VA Life Insurance.
Uh-oh, Brad's buzzed.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, he's starting with the woots. And now a speech.
I just want to say that friendship is about heart. Heart and brain. Who's with me?
Good thing is, he knows when he's buzzed.
And my brain is saying, when it's time to go home, somebody call me a ride.
Love that guy.
Me too.
Know your buzzed warning signs? Call for a ride when it's time to go home. Buzz driving is drunk driving. A message from NHTSA and the Ad Council.
Wisconsin. I am Kristen Bry with Jane Matinair, and our guest this half hour is Dan Schaefer from the Recombobulation Area. If you have a question for Dan, you are free to call or give us a text at 844-967-2789. And Dan, I would love your opinion on this as someone who puts their work out into the world to get feedback, but I also think there is a type of person with certain political leanings that follows me and follows you. And I have noticed, I'm trying to not allow myself to have any false hope on turnout for next week, because as I have posted videos in the lead up to the election, my most well-performing videos, we'll say, as far as the most views and things that are getting pushed in the algorithm, are about the election. And the amount of comments I'm getting as far as people who are voting, people who plan to vote, people who are telling their friends to vote, people who are voting for Janet, is overwhelming. It makes me feel good. But I also understand that I live in an echo chamber. And so how are you feeling about what you've heard, people you've talked to, as far as what we can expect for turnout and what more can be done to motivate turnout in the last week that we have?
Well, I think that's the name. Turnout's the name of the game right now. And it's just, you know, it's a cliche to say that it all comes down to turnout, but sometimes a cliche is true. Right. Mm-hmm. And so, I think it's really important to, like I did in my silly video over the weekend, to vote early if you can, to get other people to vote, to remind people that this election is happening, because normal people who are not like us and who are not living and dying on every little bumping news cycle aren't necessarily accustomed to a spring election cycle when there's not a presidential primary attached to it.
Yes.
So I was doing a little bit of digging around on some turnout numbers for spring elections past. The high mark for turnout in a recent Wisconsin Supreme Court election was in 2016. When there was about 47% turnout, but that came when there was presidential primaries on the ballot for both parties. And then in 2020, you also had the Democratic primary that was all but sewn up by Joe Biden at that point, but the turnout percentage got to just over 35%. Now, if you're looking at turnout when there's not a presidential primary attached to it, only twice since the year 2000 has turnout been above 25%.
Oh my God.
And that's 25% of voting age adults. And so you think about the percentage that we get, you know, in midterms, in presidential elections, we're in the, like, Wisconsin's great with that. It's 50, 60, 70%.
Usually, right? Like top five, like all states for voter turnout in the fall.
So there's a lot of people who are accustomed to voting in fall elections, regularly vote in fall elections, who are not going to vote next week or vote this week.
Mm-hmm.
Only twice. And like I said, only twice. And those came post Act 10 when there was the 2011 race for Wisconsin Supreme Court that reached about 34%. And then 4 years ago in 2019, similar timing wise, where it kind of followed a midterm, Brian Hagedorn won that extremely close race by less than 6,000 votes. That was at about a 27% turnout. You know, I think the expectation is that this election will eclipse that one.
Yeah.
Who knows if it will get that 34%, but that's still not that many people.
Not a lot of people.
You know, we've been talking about this election for so long. It is such a big deal, but I think, you know, normal people are not necessarily accustomed to voting in a spring election when the rest of the nation isn't also voting, or if there's not a presidential primary involved or whatever it might be. So turnout is everything right now, and reaching people who might not know that this election is happening is super, super important.
And it's interesting because I've been, you know, the amount of national press our state has gotten and the amount of people I've seen, whether it's you really big creators on social media, different news outlets, I think almost every major news outlet has written some version of the headline, the most important election that you've never heard of in the last 4 months, right? And so I'm interested for people who, because I think there is a part of our population that maybe pays attention more to national news than to local news, largely because a lot of local news has been gutted. And sometimes, you know, it's easier to pay attention to national headlines because there's so many different options and different ways you can receive that information. And so I'm interested to see if there's any correlation between that and ultimately, not that it's a good thing that this has been such an expensive race, but with such an expensive race also means a lot of media that it's hard to not know that there's an election next week.
Yeah, but at the same time, there's a lot of people who don't know there's an election next week.
Yeah,
and it's really important to reach those folks and remind people that, you know, how important this is and how much is riding on this, because it's a rare opportunity to determine the balance of power on the state court. Doesn't happen often. There's not often a case where there's an open seat and there's three liberals and three conservatives on the state on the court. You know, it's just you got to reach as many voters as possible, because the more people turn out, the healthier democracy can be. And I think
totally
for Republicans,
agree.
and I think for Republicans, they recognize, you know, they won't say it, but they recognize that this is a base turnout election.
Yeah.
Because I don't think Daniel Kelly is the type of candidate who's going to win over swing voters.
No, really? You don't think he's a real moderate, normal guy?
Exactly. And so I think their effort right now is turn out the base.
Yeah.
Not try to win over any other, you know, you see the tone of the advertising. It's speaking to the base. It's not speaking to swing voters. So turnout is everything right now.
Turnout is everything. All right. Well, if you missed any of this, you can always listen to it as a podcast, or you can catch Dan Schaefer later today on Dueling Tangents. What time are you joining for the whole hour?
No, 2:30 today.
2:30. So tune into Dueling Tangents if you didn't get enough Dan right now. But Dan Schaefer from Recombobulation Area, always fun to have you on the show. Thank you for all of your work.
Always great to join the show.
All right.
Thanks for having me.
Stay tuned. This is As Goes Wisconsin.
Tell that long-tongued liar. Go and tell the midnight rider. Tell the rambler, the gambler, the backbiter. Tell him the guard's gonna cut him down. Tell him the guard's gonna...
News and talk. Up, down, and all around the Fox Valley. This is Civic Media.
ABC News, I'm Lionel Moyes. We're learning more about the mass shooting at a Christian school in Nashville that left three students and three staff members dead. Police now releasing body cam footage showing the officers entering and killing the shooter in about 14 minutes.
There's these sirens going off. They're yelling to get more officers there as they push through, systematically moving through each room, clearing it. Ultimately, they do hear some shots, so they move up to that second floor, and ultimately that is where they identify the shooter and take that shooter down.
ABC's Jacqueline Lee. The investigation is looking into writings the shooter, Audrey Hill, left behind.
Authorities say they discovered writings mentioning possibly several other targets. Authorities say they believe there could have been more victims even outside of the school had those officers not acted as quickly as they did.
ABC's Alex Perez. We're learning that Hill contacted a friend the morning of the shooting, but by the time the friend alerted authorities, it was too late. This is ABC News.
Heart failure, carpal tunnel syndrome, shortness of breath, stomach issues, lower back pain. How does it all add up? If you have heart failure and any of those seemingly unrelated symptoms sound familiar, it's time to talk with your cardiologist and get the full picture. They may add up to transthyretin amyloid cardiomyopathy. ATTR-CM is a rare and underdiagnosed disease. Recognize the signs and discuss them with your doctor soon. Learn more at connectwithyourheart.com. That's connectwithyourheart.com. Sponsored by Pfizer.
Dear hero, whoever you are, you save lives. I live with sickle cell and the pain and the issues that come along with sickle cell every day. I've had lots and lots of blood transfusions over my lifetime, probably in the hundreds. Blood helps me to be able to live.
My final tour was in Afghanistan in 2008. I was hit June 3rd. The next thing I remember, I woke up in Germany. The doctor came in and said, we're going to amputate your leg. I had to get a lot of blood transfusion to stay alive.
Because of you, I'm allowed to see my son grow up.
Because of you, I got a second chance at life.
Giving equals living. Give blood. Replenish the supply. Make an appointment to give today by visiting hhs.gov/giveblood. This message is brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services.
Kids, they're just different than us. They have no inhibitions, consider silverware optional, and can find fun anywhere. And when kids get really sick, they're different than us too. Until now, children diagnosed with blood cancer have been treated like many adults. Not anymore. The Leukemia and Lymphoma Society proudly introduces the Dare to Dream Project, transforming treatment and care through advocacy, education, and the largest global clinical trial for kids with blood cancer. For the first time, a specific treatment can be matched to a specific type of cancer in a specific child. It'll be the biggest medical advancement for little patients in history. Dare to dream with us. Support the Dare to Dream Project and all the work that the Leukemia and Lymphoma Society does at lls.org.
This is the story of a very special woman. Just a few knew about her superpowers. In a matter of seconds, she turned herself into a great mathematician. She masqueraded as a regular person at work, but as a superhero at home. Everyone knows her as Gabriella. I still call her Mom.
Your hero needs you now, and AARP is here to help. Find the care guides you need to help, complete with tips and resources, at aarp.org/caregiving. Brought to you by AARP and the Ad Council.
Welcome back to As Goes Wisconsin. My name is Dan Schaefer. I am your guest host today. We were just, for the last segment, joined by Paul Noonan. We were talking about Aaron Rodgers and what his future holds. For his Green Bay Packers. Sounds like he's headed to the New York Jets. Sounds like something happened in his darkness retreat where something changed. But we're going to be continuing our series of conversations today about mayoral elections happening around the state and around the region. We talked to Dr. Kristen Lyerly in our first hour of the show about the mayor's race happening in Green Bay. And we are joined for our next segment by Scott Gordon, the publisher of Tone Madison, to talk a little bit about the race for mayor in Madison. Scott, thank you so much for joining the show.
Yeah, thanks for having me, Dan.
So there's a lot of attention paid to the top of the ticket in the spring election with the race for Wisconsin Supreme Court. But there is a lot going on down ballot in a lot of different communities across the state. One of those communities is Madison, where there is a race for mayor. So since I've been paying so much attention to the Wisconsin Supreme Court, paying attention to a number of other stories happening in Milwaukee. I haven't paid a whole lot of attention to what's been happening in these mayor's races. So Kristen was able to give me the lowdown about what's happening in Green Bay in our first segment. So what's been happening with the race for mayor in Madison?
So our incumbent mayor, Satya Rhodes Conway, who was first elected in 2019, has a challenger named Gloria Reyes, who has served on the Madison School Board and was deputy mayor under Paul Soglin, and also, like, earlier in her career was a police officer. And it is an interesting race, and it's gotten kind of weird at a lot of turns. There were a couple other folks in the primary who weren't, you know, didn't come off as super serious. And it's been interesting to me that this is what the field's come down to, and that no one's running really to Satya's left. I think there's a lot of ways you could break it down, but I think the really interesting thing to me is how much this mayor's race grows out of all the conflict that's been happening in Madison recently over transit and housing and density. You know, a big part of the, you know, agenda that Satya ran on in 2019 was making progress on some transit projects, including bus rapid transit. And the city has broken ground on construction for some of the bus rapid transit lines. And for those who aren't like constantly thinking about bus rapid transit, it's a system where the bus has a dedicated lane and you know, kind of expedited boarding and loading and stuff.
Higher frequency, all that kind of stuff. Yeah.
Yeah. And it's, you know, it's a really promising development, and there've been a bunch of contentious turns in this debate, you know, especially over 2021 and 22, there was this huge blow up about the proposal of routing buses down State Street, which is the logical thing to do if you need to get from east to west on, you know, the isthmus of Madison. There just aren't a lot of, you know, if you look at a map, there aren't that many ways to really do that well. And you know, a bunch of like business owners and folks got together and kind of threw a tantrum over that, and were trying to delay it and trying to get the buses routed off of State Street. The Wisconsin State Journal ran approximately a million editorials calling for State Street to become a grand pedestrian promenade. And the way it is now, and the way that it'll probably kind of still be after bus rapid transit comes in, is that there will be transit and also still a lot of pedestrian friendly space, and those two things aren't at odds with each other. But the city ended up sticking with that routing, and it, you know, upset a lot of people. And it definitely, it definitely struck me as kind of a tantrum on behalf of like certain business interests in Madison. You know, I don't know if it was really about the buses per se, so much as, you know, as so much as some folks kind of saying like, hey, you have to listen to us, and if we're not getting our way and we don't feel like we're being heard enough, then we're going to pitch a fit. We've also had a couple of really recent changes to zoning that are intended to basically encourage density, encourage more affordable housing. The housing market in Madison is really bad right now. You know, if you're searching for an apartment here, the rents are getting ridiculous. It's very hard to find, you know, a decent place in, yeah.
Anyone you
know,
talk to
anywhere
in Madison who's looking to buy a house is having a hard time.
No, it's terrible. Yeah. I mean, it's just ridiculous. And so everybody, I think, realizes that the city badly needs to add a lot more housing units because things are very tight, and
it's the fastest growing part of the state. Yeah.
Yeah. And that creates a whole other interesting dynamic where obviously you have people in single family home neighborhoods.
Adopt US Kids presents What to Expect When You're Expecting a Teenager, Learning the Lingo.
GOAT, GOAT, acronym, stands for Greatest of All Time, as in spaghetti sandwiches for dinner. They're my fave. Dad, you're the GOAT.
You don't have to speak teen to be a perfect parent. Thousands of teens in foster care will love you just the same. Visit AdoptUSKids.org. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, Adopt U.S. Kids, and the Ad Council.
One call can do it all. Your business's message can be broadcast across the entire state of Wisconsin through the Civic Media Network of stations, or we can focus the campaign in your hometown. We have the flexibility. You have the control. Civic Media, 608-819-8255.
Who's in there? Vote them out. That's what election day is all about. The biggest gun we've got is called the ballot box. So if you don't like who's in there, vote them out.
Welcome back to As Goes Wisconsin. I am Kristen Bry. She is Jane Matinere, and we are rounding out our noon hour of this Tuesday edition of As Goes Wisconsin. Just a reminder that you can always stream us. You can take us wherever you go. So if you're listening to us in your car and then you're going to do errands, you can download the Civic Media app.
So easy.
And you can continue to listen to us while you're grocery shopping. And so you just have to go to your app store, whether you have an Android or an Apple, and search Civic Media. And then you can download that app. And you can take us wherever you go. And so all of the different stations, the Civic Media stations, are on there. So you can check out the different shows on the different stations. But you can also just listen to us as a podcast. So if you go to asgoeswisconsin.com/listen, you can find us. We post all of our show notes there. And so I put out, like, for example, for Dan Schaefer's piece from today, I'll post his gerrymandering piece and some of the different articles that we referenced throughout today's show. So you can always go there and find us on Spotify and Apple and wherever you find your podcasts.
So easy.
Am I missing anything, Jane?
I don't think so. And then we stream all over the place too. So if you want to,
we do.
If you want to see us, that's your choice. You can do that as well.
Who was it that called that said, "I didn't realize you guys streamed. You look very different than what I was expecting."
I don't know.
I was like, "Oh, there's a lot to unpack there."
Can be good and bad. It could be good and bad.
It can be, especially when I forget to put in the away message when we're at a commercial, and people just see me doing whatever I'm doing during the commercial break. Oh, all right. Well, I found this little piece of trivia from the Up North News newsletter, which is also our 6 to 8 a.m. show with Pat Kreitlow, is Up North News Radio. But they also have a newsletter that is fun tidbits. I would say that's a good resource, both for news, but also we get some fun, lighter stories from them. And so they started doing some trivia. And although they don't do it the way Morning Brew does it, so I always have to wait for the next day, because Morning Brew will give you the answer the day that they
give
you the trivia.
Okay. But Up North
versus
News,
in the Up North newsletter, they don't tell you the answer. Like, you can email them back with your guess. Otherwise, they say the answer the next day.
Oh.
I feel like that's a lot more work to go through all those answers, depending on how many they get every day.
The art of the
But this is a hard one. I would not have gotten this. And in fact, they actually wrote, they said none of the respondents got this one correct. But I'll give it a pause to see if you or anyone else can answer this. Be on standby. 844-967-2789.
Now, to clarify, this is election trivia, is this specific to Wisconsin or is this national?
No, this is national.
This is national.
So what usual method was used to compare political candidates in the late 1880s?
What did they use to check out the candidates in the late 1880s?
What usual method?
This was a traditional thing.
Mm-hmm. I don't know how long it lasted for, but...
I don't know why my brain is going here. Was it a urinalysis or something?
A urine analysis?
Yeah.
Like drug testing?
Who knows what they were doing in the 1880s? They could have been crazy.
And actually, that's an interesting point. Why do we drug test our elected officials?
I don't think they have to go through any test.
I don't think they have to go through any tests either. I don't think they're drug tested at all, which is interesting. I'll give it a couple minutes.
That could explain so very much about some of
them. So very much. What was it? What was the Madison Cawthorn accusation that there was like coke orgies?
Oh, yes. Yes. Cocaine orgies on the Republican side.
God, I wonder what that guy's up to these days. All right. Any other guesses?
I got nothing. I'll go with a urine sample.
Phrenology. Do you know what that is? I don't even think if I hadn't read this, I don't think on its face value, if someone just said the term phrenology to me yesterday, I would have been like, oh, I know what that is.
ABC News, I'm Lionel Moyes. As the nation mourns the six victims of yet another mass shooting at a private Christian school in Nashville, investigators are still trying to determine a motive as they look into the suspect. A friend says 28-year-old Audrey Hale reached out to her before the shooting.
Paige Patton, one of Hale's former basketball teammates, is sharing chilling direct messages she says Hale sent her the morning of the shooting. Hale allegedly writing, "One day this will make more sense. I've left more than enough evidence behind."
My heart is I'm speechless.
Patton says she called authorities, but that was only minutes before the shooting started.
ABC's Alex Perez in Nashville. Police say the shooter targeted the school but did not target specific victims. Authorities say Hale owned seven legal guns that were purchased from five different gun stores.
Adopt US Kids presents What to Expect When You're Expecting a Teenager. Learning the Lingo.
GOAT, G-O-A-T, acronym, stands for Greatest of All Time. As in, spaghetti sandwiches for dinner? They're my fave. Dad, you're the GOAT.
You don't have to speak teen to be a perfect parent. Thousands of teens in foster care will love you just the same. Visit AdoptUSKids.org. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, Adopt U.S. Kids, and the Ad Council.
One call can do it all. Your business's message can be broadcast across the entire state of Wisconsin through the Civic Media Network of stations, or we can focus the campaign in your hometown. We have the flexibility. You have the control. Civic Media, 608-819-8255.
Who's in there? Vote them out. That's what election day is all about. The biggest gun we've got is called the ballot box. So if you don't like who's in there, vote them out.
Welcome back to As Goes Wisconsin. I am Kristen Bry. She is Jane Matinair, and we are rounding out our noon hour of this Tuesday edition of As Goes Wisconsin. Just a reminder that you can always stream us. You can take us wherever you go. So if you're listening to us in your car and then you're going to do errands, you can download the Civic Media app.
So easy.
And you can continue to listen to us while you're grocery shopping. And so you just have to go to your app store, whether you have an Android or an Apple, and search Civic Media. And then you can download that app and you can take us wherever you go. And so all of the different stations, the Civic Media stations, are on there. So you can check out the different shows on the different stations. But you can also just listen to us as a podcast. So if you go to asgoeswisconsin.com/listen, you can find us. We post all of our show notes there. And so I put out, like, for example, for Dan Schaefer's piece from today, I'll post his gerrymandering piece and some of the different articles that we referenced throughout today's show. So you can always go there and find us on Spotify and Apple and wherever you find your podcasts.
So easy.
Am I missing anything, Jane?
I don't think so. And then we stream all over the place too. So if you want to,
we do.
If you want to see us, that's your choice. You can do that as well.
Who was it that called that said, I didn't realize you guys streamed. You look very different than what I was expecting.
I don't know.
I was like, oh, there's a lot to unpack there.
Can be good and bad. It could be good and bad.
It can be, especially when I forget to put in the away message when we're at a commercial and people just see me doing whatever I'm doing during the commercial break. Oh, all right. Well, I found this little piece of trivia from the Up North News newsletter, which is also our 6 to 8 a.m. show with Pat Kreitlow, is Up North News Radio. But they also have a newsletter that is fun tidbits. I would say that's a good resource, both for news, but also we get some fun, lighter stories from them. And so they started doing some trivia, and although they don't do it the way Morning Brew does it, so I always have to wait for the next day, because Morning Brew will give you the answer the day that they
give
you the trivia.
Okay. But Up North
versus
News,
in the Up North newsletter, they don't tell you the answer. Like, you can email them back with your guess. Otherwise, they say the answer the next day.
Oh.
So I feel like that's a lot more work to go through all those answers, depending on how many they get every day.
It's the art of the
beast. But this is a hard one. I would not have gotten this. And in fact, they actually wrote, they said none of the respondents got this one correct. But I'll give it a pause to see if you or anyone else can answer this. Be on standby. 844-967-2789.
Now, to clarify, this is election trivia. Is this specific to Wisconsin, or is this national?
No, this is national.
This is national.
So what usual method was used to compare political candidates in the late 1880s?
What did they use to check out the candidates in the late 1880s?
What usual method?
This was a traditional thing.
Mm-hmm. I don't know how long it lasted for, but
I don't know why my brain is going here. Was it a urinalysis or something?
A urine analysis?
Yeah.
Like drug testing?
Who knows what they were doing in the 1880s? They could have been crazy.
And actually, that's an interesting point. Why do we drug test our elected officials?
I don't think they have to go through any test.
I don't think they have to go through any tests either. I don't think they're drug tested at all, which is interesting. I'll give it a couple minutes.
That could explain so very much about some of
them. So very much. What was it? What was the Madison Cawthorn accusation that there was, like, coke orgies?
Oh, yes. Yes, yes, yes. Cocaine orgies on the Republican side. We.
God, I wonder what that guy's up to these days. All right. Any other guesses?
I got nothing. I'll go with a urine sample.
Phrenology.
Phrenology.
Do you know what that is? I don't even think if I hadn't read this, I don't think on its face value, if someone just said the term phrenology to me yesterday, I would have been like, oh, I know what that is.
Is it something to do with blood?
No, it's the analysis of their skulls.
What?
So it was a practice that was used throughout the 1800s, including during the 1884 election between Grover Cleveland and James Blade. So it's basically when it's like a pseudoscience that involves like the measurements of like bumps on the skull, and it like would be a predictor of mental traits. So it's not like a real science, but at the time
it was accepted.
There was people who it was accepted. That was like people thought that like brain size and, you know, like early science. And so I couldn't find a ton. I was trying, this did happen absolutely in this presidential election. I was trying to research this morning to see if there was more documentation on other elections this happened in. But they used this during the 1884 election between Grover Cleveland and James Blaine. So despite Grover Cleveland's, despite his skull being labeled subpar.
Oh, dear.
Compared to James Blaine, Cleveland won the Electoral College and the popular vote to become the first Democratic president in 28 years.
That is crazy.
Isn't that crazy? And literally there's a picture I found it. You can Google this and find the newspaper clipping that literally prints like the diagram of each of their heads. And like Grover Cleveland is kind of like, he's a little bit of a cone head. And like, he's a little wider at the bottom, a little pointier at the top. And it came from them like giving this to constituents to vote on as a potential criteria of like, take this information as you will on their skull shape and size and what that says about them as candidates.
Now I just want to see what the exam looks like. You know, come on in. I'm going to feel your head. It's just so odd.
It's very odd. It's good that we're not
doing that
still
anymore.
Doing that, I would say. But I'm so interested of just what, like, the scientists who really believed in this, like, what were the experiments that they found conclusive evidence that anything correlated to anything? Because I'm pretty sure now there's not a whole lot. Like, I've got a pretty big head, and I think that I'm smart, but I don't think the two are actually
connected
at all.
Not necessarily.
All right. Well, we're going to take a break for the top of the hour news. When we come back, we're going to have a conversation about Milwaukeeese and Wisconsin dialects and linguists in linguistics in general with UW linguist Joe Sammons, who is going to be joining us for the first half hour. If you have questions about origins of why we talk the way we talk and how it's interpreted, 844-967-2789. It's going to be a super fun conversation. Stick around. This is As Goes Wisconsin.
That's what Election Day is all about. The biggest gun we've got is called the ballot box. So if you don't like who's in there, vote them out. If you don't like who's in there, we'll vote them out.
Fear you may be.
You're listening to the Talk of Green Bay.
WGBW 1590 AM Denmark. W250CV Green Bay.
And always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Lionel Moyes. As the nation mourns the six victims of yet another mass shooting at a private Christian school in Nashville, investigators are still trying to determine a motive as they look into the suspect. A friend says 28-year-old Audrey Hale reached out to her before the shooting.